Welcome to the Darwin Cook Tribute Panel. All of us wish that this thing didn't exist on any level. Especially, you know, when you take into consideration Darwin's age and how much life this guy had, it just doesn't seem right. And I think everybody up here is still waiting for him to magically come out this door and yell, "Hey, asshole!" Yeah.
Broken arm?
Hey, we're not with them. The women at this end of the table, we're not with them. Hey, next time.
All right. Sorry.
Continue.
Good. Okay. So this is terrible. This sucks. We also know that on some level, the ghost of Darwin is sitting somewhere in here, probably behind Mike.
Definitely. I can feel it. Oh, it's off.
Talk about it, you know, we're thinking, oh, you know, this should be, you know, a tribute, this and that, and we said, yeah, but also, the crowd up here, you look at the fringe, you understand that there was nothing normal in this guy's life, in Darwin's life. He did not attract normal people, he attracted people that were to the right and left of Satan, and also, it shows how lovely he was by all of us that were both here today. At 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Darwin Cook would not have been at the Darwin Cook party. I'm just going to tell you that, okay?
So just to start with, Marcia, Darwin's wife, sent a message she wanted me to read for everybody before we get the panel started. And so she couldn't be here. Because she, long story short, I don't think she can come back to the country.
Yeah, she's banned forever. Yeah.
Because she spent too much time. If you guys don't know, Darwin, obviously he was Canadian, but five to six months out of the year he would come to the United States. He actually bought a house right there where Vanderbilt lived, and he invaded my neighborhood, and the bar business, everybody benefited. Florida. And he would come down and we'd see him, pretty good half a year at the time. When Darwin passed, he was in Florida. A place that he went as a child, his father took him and his brothers to in the summers, and he had a lot of love for him. And so that's where he passed. I'm going to read what Marcia said. And I love the first sentence. A love from Canada. And thank you all for coming this evening. Very sorry I can't be there with you, but please drink all the drinks for me. I know Darwin's passing came suddenly and is quite shocking, so I'd like to give you a little more information to answer the questions you may have. Then the gang up here can discuss the less sad parts. In late December, Darwin started having severe pain in his shoulder. After the holidays, he went to a walk-in clinic expecting a diagnosis of a torn rotator cuff. His diagnosis was stage 4 lung cancer. We began radiation and chemotherapy, and by the end of February, he had aggressively grown and spreading to more locations. We transferred to Moffitt Cancer Center in Tampa in early March and began immunotherapy and more radiation. In early May, we were told treatment was not successful and entered hospice. On Saturday 14th, he lost his battle. He took his leave, just like you would expect, strong, passionate, and full of hope. He drew until Wednesday, the day before he passed. He made us laugh until late Friday night. He probably will make you laugh tonight. He was surrounded by friends and family throughout the treatment. He didn't suffer, and he was himself till the end. Sometime over the next year, I'll be putting together a collective book of the pieces of our friends due to raise funds for the charities. Thank you all for coming this evening, and thank you all. Thanks to all of our Weirdo Comics family on the panel. have fun, and don't punch anyone unless they really deserve it. Marsha. No punching, right?
I got Colleen next to me, so no promises.
Okay. We have some art and some quotes that we put together. Somebody's controlling this. If you want to go through it, just a little bit of some quotes from Darwin right there, and some beautiful artwork. Anybody have to read? You guys can read, right? Everybody can see it? Okay. Nice one. Wait. Batman cover. Darwin was my go-to guy. Anytime I need a cover artist, I said, hey, you want to do that? He said, yeah. We can stop there. His Catwoman. What can you say about that? Mark. Were you involved with that, right?
No, not really. He did that three issue thing with Brubaker. Brubaker first.
Okay.
And then he did the graphic novel for me with me.
Okay.
Yeah. I inked it. That's actually how I met Darwin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, I've known Ed Brubaker before he was Ed Brubaker. He was one of the first pros we ever met when we moved to the States from Europe and started a hobby, became a career. So we'd see Ed, and one time we were here at Comic-Con and ran into him at a hotel and said, hey, I'm doing Catwoman with this guy named Darwin Cook, and I saw it on the cover of Comic Shop News. It looks amazing, and I assumed it was largely done, you know, because the promotion had started. And Ed said, "Well, Darwin felt he needed an inker," and I asked him, "Who would you have in mind?" And he said, "Someone like Mike Allred." And I said, "Well, how about really Mike Allred?" he said he was here, and he dragged me to the bar where Darwin was, and just hit it off instantly. And so that's where my love affair with him began, just that click. And from there, he forced himself upon us. And so.
Yeah. Well, you know, Darwin, his work, you know, had this classic feel about it, like timeless. You didn't know if it was the 50s, you didn't know if it was today, you didn't know if it was 10 years from now. The work just stood up, it was brilliant. But he did get his start in advertising for comics. But he had a love for comics his whole life. I think some of his first jobs, Bruce, I think he was worked for you, right? In LA?
Yeah, right immediately before he got into comics, he was up in Canada. We were working on the second series of Batman cartoons and the Superman show simultaneously. We had a lot of work to do in a short period of time. We were desperate for artists. We took out an ad in the trade saying, we're looking for people who can draw superheroes. Darwin saw the ad. He loved what we had done in the original Batman animated series. Sent in his samples. We were knocked out by them. We sent him a freelance board. Killed it. And then he called us and said, hey, you know what I'd really like to do is I'd like to actually come to Los Angeles and work in-house with you guys rather than freelance. And that's always better for us anyways. We said, yeah, come on down. So we worked with the immigration department to give him a work visa, and he came on down. This is the funny thing about Darwin is, here he is, this guy from Nova Scotia, Canada, who'd never worked in the animation business, nothing. And he comes in the door, and he's immediately one of our top guys. I mean, it was like, everybody was like, just impressed by, you know, how fully formed he was. Funny thing about it was that he was really damn good. He kind of knew it. Kind of came in swinging his dick around.
No.
He didn't have a lot of false humility, you know? But normally I'm kind of put off by that in people, but it's just kind of part of who he was. He was like this bigger-than-life kind of guy, you know? And he was really funny, really smart, amazingly talented. I'm sure all of us can say this, but it's like I had a man crush on him like right away. was just like, you know, I just thought he was great. So
yeah. Man crush is appropriate because I think every guy that became friends with him wanted to be around him all the time.
Totally.
Unless a fight broke out, then we all ran into
him. That happened a lot.
You know, with artists, passion, right? Passion's part of it. Passion for everything, and Darwin kind of went, you know, full on in with everything, whether it was a steak. and so many people laugh because he would. I'll tell a quick story. Just one time, we went to dinner, it was a DC dinner with Dan Dio and I think a couple of guys. I'm trying to remember who. Anyway, he felt it was a DC short little dinner. Four of us at the table, four or five of us, maybe James Robinson, and trying to think who else. And Darwin felt cheated about something, which is like a daily thing. Okay, somebody hurt the wrong, somebody's gonna pay for this, somebody. But anyway, we went to dinner, and it's really fancy restaurant, Danny Dio took us, and I think it was Bob Wayne was the other person there. And Darwin goes, "Who's paying for this dinner?" And Dan and Bob say, "Well, DC Comics is gonna pay for it." He goes, "Okay," the waiter comes over and goes, "I want the biggest steak you have. And I want the largest lobster you have." And they brought him a giant pot of green lobster. They threw it on the table. He went through it. And then they brought him a steak the size of a plate that you normally put a steak on, a big steak on. And he went through that. And then after that, he was sorry. After
that, somebody shot a gun?
That's it. I'm happy he's all good. We're all great now. And that was Darwin in a nutshell. He just had to make his point.
Yeah.
The great thing, the thing that weaker people never understood about him is he wants to fight, but he wants to fight back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He wants a little bit of, he wants to push back.
Yep.
Because that was the way he rolled.
He respected that.
Yeah.
He respected that.
He wanted to fight. And there always was a point where if he knew he was wrong, he'd start giggling about it.
Right.
He'd start laughing about it, and then go, like, all right, let's get past it. So anyway, I'm going to go down the row, I guess, just to kind of little stories here and there, if anybody wants to say. I'm going to start with Amanda. She's close to me, and she's been quiet, suspiciously quiet.
I don't even...
Well, I mean, you know, you're the one, you were Darwin's leader if he's gone too far.
Right.
Darwin used to say, if Amanda's upset at me, I've gone too far. Their relationship was like a brother and sister relationship in a weird way, because... Darwin loved her art. She loved Darwin's art. Darwin made sure. And Darwin made sure there was a piece of his art in every room in our house. And I think it was a plan. Right?
He does actually. He puts
some.
There's a Jonah Hex piece. You know, there's a whole Jonah Hex page, and he didn't care. He actually cut the page, the panel out of the page, and. It is Jonah Hex sitting on a chair with a cannon pointed towards his outhouse. And there's this guy sticking his head out of the outhouse, and he looks shocked. And his head is sticking out, and his knees are sticking out, and his pants are down on his head. And the cannon, the little fuse on the cannon is almost to the cannon. And we have that hanging in the bathroom.
Sitting there looking off, wondering about time and space.
Yeah, we have that.
A table in our one room.
We bought, oh my god, and Jimmy wanted a table, and I was like, I want this table, but no, Jimmy's not going to like it. And Darwin and I used to go to this mid-century modern furniture place down in St. Petersburg, right in Tampa. And that was our fun thing to do together, was, you know, because Jimmy.
That was your special time with him.
Yes.
Was furniture shopping. I wouldn't get involved in that. Yeah, you really get it. It's great.
But he bought me a beautiful table.
Yeah.
After watching him is over, he was like, he presented me this beautiful table. I don't think Jimmy's crazy about it, but I love it.
Well, it's haunted. That's a problem. Cody.
Oh, boy. Let's see.
I spent a lot of years kind of afraid to talk to him. You know, Jimmy and Amanda introduced me to him. I don't know if you remember this. It was actually here. It was a breakfast at the end of the show. I joined you guys for breakfast. And he showed up and, you know, kind of had ballsiness, you know, the way he was. And, you know, I was intimidated. I'm not afraid to kind of mention that. I had spent a number of years intimidated to talk to him until I saw the Blue Bear Tarzan. I saw him at the Dragon Con, and he was at the show. He's always nice to me, but he just showed up wearing this fucking Pooh Bear costume. I'm not sure where this thing came from or where he got it. I've heard stories about it since, but he just had shades on, he had a Pooh Bear costume, and I was like, okay. And from then on, it was kind of smooth sailing with us for the most part. Because you never had totally smooth sailing with Darwin, but for the most part, we were pretty good. Yeah. Had a couple of moments with him that weren't so smooth, but like you were talking about how he wanted you to fight back.
Yeah.
I don't know that I necessarily fought back, but I kind of did back down. You know, and I think he liked that.
Yeah, you know? he liked people stand up to him,
yeah.
Especially when he was wrong.
You know, I remember he came to our house so excited. He says, I went to the secondhand shop and I found a Winnie the Pooh costume for only $5. And he's holding it. Pittsburgh Darwin would all of a sudden be the biggest pussycat in the world and give you a gift, and you'd be like, oh, you know, where this throws you off guard. What are you laughing at?
Who here knows who Phil Noto is?
You can tell the story.
Tell Phil Noto story, guys.
Thank you for this up.
Okay. I guess it was at your Megacon or something like that, and we had Phil sleeping on our couch, Darwin, and I guess he got the first, so he got the guest bedroom. And, first thing in the morning, Darwin had. Why was the Pooh costume at our? Because he hadn't bought the house yet, and the Pooh costume was just in storage at our house. So he put on the Pooh costume. He quietly tiptoed down into the living room, snuck up to Phil, who was sleeping soundly on a couch, and put his hand over his.
You know, it's funny, man. You guys all talk. I miss that motherfucker. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. I don't know. Maybe I'll talk about the first time we met.
Sure.
Okay. That was with Jimmy. It was the first New York Comic Con. And I was supposed to go to dinner with Jimmy. Right? And Jimmy's like, yeah, you know, Dolan Cook is going to join us. And this is right after the shit that went down with Axel, okay? So if you know that story, that's another story.
Axel, I need to tell it.
Yeah.
But
anyway, you know, and everybody was like, oh, if you were there, you would kick his ass, and blah, blah, blah. So this is, I'm going to dinner with this guy, okay, now that people are, you know. And so I was very apprehensive. I'm like, really? I'm like, I'm going to dinner with this fucking asshole? I mean, I'm going to be rolling around before the appetizers come out with this guy, you know? And, but no, that wasn't the case at all. We hit it off. And, you know, we both liked to drink. We both,
that was the end of the story.
Yeah, pretty much. We pretty much got drunk after that, and then, you know. Yeah, it's pretty much it, you know? Yeah. You would go to a convention, and, you know, we were talking earlier today, and conventions are really like, I would see him more, you know.
Same here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And As soon as I get there, he would have been like, wait for me to get off the plane or whatever. He's like, where are you? Get your ass down to the bar, Thierry. You know what I mean? And that was it. And then he'd be in bed by 8 o'clock, you know?
I remember they asked New York Times, because, all right, so...
Oh, here's a story.
Darwin was sick of hearing about New York pizza and Berkeley North Frank and I, obviously.
Right. You think?
I think that would have great scientists out there. And he would go, oh, the Brooklyn's better, and the pizza's better.
Yeah.
Oh, White Castle, what the hell's a White Castle?
Oh, when I took him to White Castle, yeah.
The last New York Times was what, the Ivan Morning?
It was after the D.C. party, and I'm walking home, and I'm walking back to his room, and he's... You know, he's drunk. And he was like, we were hungry. It was me, him, and our friend Randy. And you know, Randy was like, let's go there. And I'm like, you know, there's a White Castle. And he's like, White Castle? Oh, what? It was like, you know, it popped up. And he's like, oh, let's go to White Castle. Because he had never been there. It was like a, you know, this mythological place that he heard of. You know what I mean? White Castle. It's like, you know, city of El Dorado, you know. So we go to White Castle, and he orders a family meal by himself. Okay, there were 20 burgers and, you know, fries and shit like this. And he's sitting there in White Castle, and he's like, oh, these are delightful. What?
He didn't say that the next morning. Art director at DC Comics, and Darwin would be number one man. You know, Darwin would have to, everything would go to Mark, and he would look for Mark's approval on everything. It meant the world to him when Mark loved it, and but with anything, with Darwin, there was always a little push and shove.
Yeah.
But he respected you so much that he would actually fight with you, and that was just a sign of respect in every way, but it was never a battle, it was just sort of like...
Oh, it was a battle.
Yeah, it was a battle.
He's really the only person I've ever punched in the face in my entire life. Seriously. You know? Yeah.
Really? I did not know that, yeah.
I'll tell you the story. He was drunk.
What's that over? What's that all about?
No, he was... We went out with a bunch of people, and he was trashed. He was really drunk, you know, and he was staying at my place. And he said something about my wife, and, you know, and I punched him in the face. I'm not telling you what he said.
You're going to come up eventually.
No, but, you know, I mean, everybody up here is going to say we love Darwin. I absolutely love Darwin. We fought so much. It was crazy. About 18 years ago, I'm the art director of D.C., and I you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, I get my Starbucks, and I go up, and I was sitting in Scott Peterson's office. He was one of the Batman editors. And he had, against his desk, he had, like, a big stack of... mailings, you know, manila envelopes that people had mailed him. And I said, what's all this shit? It was all the same, you know, that color, that manila envelope color. You know, he said, oh, that's submissions. I got to go through all that stuff, to the Batman office, you know, kids who want to draw Batman. And I'm like, oh my God. And it was weird because there was one way at the bottom that was black. It was in a black envelope. So I said, hey, Scott, watch this. You know that trick where the magician pulls the tablecloth and everything? So I pulled it, and they all went fucking flying. Right? You know, and I said, ha, and I ran out of the office with this envelope. You know? And I absolutely true story. And I'm walking out, and it's a black envelope, and I'm walking to my office way down at the end of the hall, and I open it up, and it's this pitch by this guy I'd never heard of, Darwin Cook. And it's on this beautiful, I mean, stats of great drawings of Batman, and I'm reading it as I'm walking down the hall, and it was like, right from the first sentence, I'm like, I'm buying this fucking thing. It was so good, it was astounding. So I get back to my office, and I'm sitting there, and I read the whole thing. And he had presentation artwork, and it was called Batman Ego. And it was a number at the, you know, the postmark was like 5 months earlier, 6 months earlier, it had been sitting there. Probably which pissed Darwin off.
Yeah.
Thanks, DC. You know? So there was a phone number on it, and I called this guy, and he said, "Are you serious? I just took a job with Bruce Timm. I got to move to Los Angeles. I can't do the book." You know? And I said, "I'll tell you what. When you're done with that job, you come, you know, when you're done working with Bruce, you come and do this book." And we did the book, and it was sort of the beginning of, you know, this relationship. Yeah. But I did punch him.
After that, too.
And just want to explain one thing about cons that people do, the professionals. When we do the cons, it's a lot of stress all day. You guys see us in panels, we're signing, we have, you know, we're nice, right? Generally, we're all nice.
Nice.
By like 5 o'clock.
You're not that nice.
And the guy with 30 books comes, again comes by, or so on and so forth. We leave here and we get a drink together, and we sit like ex-soldiers, and we sit around, army vets, and we sit around and tell stories, and we drink until we're drunk, and then we start hugging each other, and eventually make our way to the room, and then show up late for panels. I mean, this is a normal thing. Human like everybody else, and so a lot of the stories are around drinking because it's always after hours. It's always after we leave and we're all stressing out. The thing I want to point out is that when we say Darwin was drunk, it also means we were as well. So, I want to point that out because it's not like he was walking around drunk and we weren't. We were pretty damn drunk at the same time. But it's, again, when that's the theme, I'm sure one or two people don't drink on the panel and their stories will be different. But we do. And I'm going to go next to Mike.
Mike,
I'm going to chime in with Mike.
Yeah.
Mike and Laura.
Yes, sir.
The reason we're not sitting together.
Yeah, I was going to wonder about
it. I still am crazy in love with that woman, but it is impossible to get her on a panel. And she kept inching her way down and then said she was going to sit down there. So it would take Darwin to get her on a panel. So yes, that's why she's all the way there, but not all the way on.
You should talk about when you came to our house in that huge Cadillac, remember that?
Oh, yeah. So, well, first of all, probably the most confident person I've ever known in my life.
Hell yeah.
When he had an idea, it was impossible to convince him it wasn't a great idea.
Yeah.
In fact, he would treat you like a fool if you didn't agree with him, the fact that it was a brilliant idea. And he got the brilliant idea that he was going to come live with us for a while.
Did he bring any Busu?
No Busu, but he... So he flies in and he decides to rent this gigantic boat of a car. I'd never seen this before. It shows how...
It's like a huge Cadillac thing.
Had magical windshield wipers that if a drop of rain hit the window, it would... whoosh, and then stop all by itself. I'd never seen that. Technology amazes me. But yeah, he said, "I'm coming to stay with you." Okay. But I think, I don't know why, but I think we got the childlike Darwin in our lives. Because we would just sit around on the floor, you know, and just draw and draw, like with a coffee table between us, and just would spend hours just drawing and trading them back and forth. So I would ink his drawings and you'd ink mine. So we'd just start and trade them around. Our relationship started with Catwoman, but then he told me that he was going to be my guest artist on X-Force, so he was my guest artist on X-Force. And then he said, "Well, I'm going to do a spin-off with Wolverine and Duke," so he did a spin-off with Wolverine and Duke. And I remember him talking about New Frontier, like, "Those assholes, they're biting me on this," and it's like, why? So I was smart and would say, "Yeah, it's brilliant. They're stupid."
Mike, he also, when he came to Eugene, we had this house, and we had a tiny little cabin on the lake. And so we took him out to the lake, and he goes, "You better sell your house. You shouldn't be there. You have to move into this little house on the lake."
So we sold our house, and we moved out to the lake. And it was great. We learned a lot. We were there for 7 years. It was a lake that was connected to the ocean. You could kayak through dunes. It was like the opening of Planet of the Apes. And you'd get to an isolated beach.
Is this one on the island?
It's not. It wasn't an island. We got her mailed by boat, but...
Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. It was really fun.
But yeah, so...
But all
Now, he could just convince you of anything. In fact, for quite a while, if he was going to do a show here, we got to where if we were invited for a show, we'd say, "Well, we'll go if you invite Darwin." And if he was invited to a show, I'll go if you invite the Allreds. And so we just ended up going to these shows. And then one of the best shows I've ever been to was Montreal, and that's when we met Marcia.
We were side by side in our rooms together, and every morning we'd hear bang, bang, bang. We're going to
dinner,
we're going to breakfast,
so
we have to
get out of bed. So we got out of bed. Bang on the wall. You guys awake? And so we instantly fell in love with Marcia, especially when she tried to double dare us into going to a sex club. I'll end that story right there.
And she goes, "Oh, it's awesome. They can touch you." I'm like, "This is
But again, just there was this childlike quality. And at these signings, you could watch him dress somebody down. I mean, he would just meet somebody. Something about them, their behavior was, something just bothered him about it. He would dress them down and tell them, "You can't be like that, you can't behave like that, that's wrong." And by the time he had completely stripped them, he was like a drill sergeant or something. And like in the military, they tear you down and then they build you up. So by the time Darwin was finished with them, they like thanked him for it. It was an amazing thing to watch, and I was always on my best behavior.
Good. All right. It's showing me time numbers, and I hate this. You know, we gotta have to hustle. I just want to get to everybody down the line. Scott.
Wait, is there a panel after this one?
No, but they're telling us we only have a certain amount of time. So Scott, you know, Darwin did the work he did for you because it was for you. He loved Parker, he loved the property, but he did it because he wanted to impress you. I know this, a lot of us know this, that, again, the people he worked with, he always wanted to show off, and that was part of what he did. We have a page of Parker, we have something in Parker up there which got edited. Yeah, I just want to say something, Scott.
I don't really remember the first time I met Darwin. It was probably here in San Diego. He was an art fan. He'd come around and look at stuff that I would have. I remember one of our first conversations. It was after New Frontier came out.
What year was that?
Whatever. I used to edit out more of the ABC books, and one of the 500 times that Alan was incredibly pissed at DC, he said he didn't want any DC books. I don't want any of those fucking books with me. And I got this book in the comps, the first issue of New Frontier. One of the losers of the island with the dinosaurs. Great story. And I sent it to Alan, and next time I spoke to him, he said, "All right, don't send me any goddamn DC books, but you can send his stuff." True story. Jimmy had mentioned that, somebody had mentioned that, sometimes being at odds with Darwin. I sort of have a reputation, or I did have a reputation, maybe I still do, of working with difficult people. At times, Darwin could be perceived as being difficult. I remember I got a call one day from Dan DeVito, and he says, "Scotty, Darwin Cook, the spirit, you want to edit it?" "Sure, of course." And I started editing the spirit. That's pretty much how it happened. And we hit it off right away. And we both have a great love of Will Eisner's stuff. I remember one thing in particular in the first issue. He he drew it, he wrote it, a great story, and there's a sequence that he didn't finish the dialogue in a couple of balloons, and he, I get that from Darwin, you know, he got this book out, you know, can you send me those two balloons? And he said, oh, I'll send it to you tomorrow, and usually pretty good about stuff like that, but he just didn't have it. And so I sent him an email and I said, what about something like this? And he sent me back and he goes, perfect, do that. And Darwin was the kind of guy who would just let something go unless he liked it. So that's when we really kind of started to click. After I got fired from DC in 2007, I was not the editor of record on the book, but I still did finish editing most of the spirit. One thing I want to say about Darwin is he was, aside from being an incredible talent, I mean, like nobody else, and I think about all the stories that he was going to tell. You know, he was going to do Butcher's Moon next. He had an idea for a Howard Rourke story, The Fountainhead, but it would just be vignettes from the story. It would be a big horizontal book with buildings. It would just be giant buildings with dialogue on the side. I really wanted to do that. But, you know, again, when I left DC, Darwin just said, okay, you know, let me know where you wind up and, you know, we'll work together again. Because he was that kind of guy, he was so loyal. And, you know, a funny story, I'm not going to mention any names on this one except for Jimmy and I, what I'm talking about. Last December, I went to a show in Las Vegas.
Vegas, yeah.
Maybe the worst show I've ever been to. It was just terrible. Although I did get to see Frank eat a monster style.
Four by four, yeah.
4x4 monster style. The most horrifying thing. But, so one day I got to breakfast with Darwin, and we're sitting there, and this other guy comes in.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Darwin and I see him, and we both know him, and he comes down, and he joins us. And Darwin, again, maybe the most loyal guy I've ever met in my life. If he thinks that somebody has done one of his friends wrong, he will not let it go. And so during breakfast, he talked to this guy about something that he did wrong. And he just didn't hold back. And he did it very politely but forcefully. And it was uncomfortable, I gotta say. You know, sometimes it was very uncomfortable to be around Darwin, but it was never dull. And I can say one thing about that particular incident: he did it out of pure love for you, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
And
he wasn't the guy that you have to say love you.
Oh, yeah, we said it all the time.
At some point. You know what I love you, dude? You know, you know, cowboyish way.
Yeah.
You know what I love you, baby? That kind of thing. He had no problem saying that to his friends, you know. And, and again, you know, in the audience, we have a lot of his friends, and then Andy, the whole crew, Billy over there, Lincoln's the 2G. And, you know, his close friends are here that could be here.
Again, really?
We get to the show.
There's one quick story I wanted to share, just because it's really funny. Darwin got married on his 50th birthday, and the day before the wedding, it was a rehearsal, and we're in there. This little
picture up top now.
That's the Pooh Bear
outfit. That's the Pooh Bear outfit, yeah.
No one was strong tonight.
Yeah, the Pooh Bear should have been like front and center, man.
That's my favorite. You know, some of you might think that costume smelled, and you'd be right.
That picture right there, I tried to shoot in the ass with that belt.
But so we're at this rehearsal, and the minister looks at it, is, you know, walking people through it, and now Dave Johnson is going to actually do the ceremony, but there was some kind of comical story that this guy had to do part of it. And so we're in there, and the guy's looking at the license, and he looks and goes, are you the Darwin Cook? And Darwin says, that depends. Are you the comic artist Darwin Cook? And Darwin says, yeah, I am. And the goddamn minister asked him for a sketch. Darwin did not react well. But anyway, so the next day, during the wedding, Dave Johnson's doing the ceremony, and then at some point, the minister rushes in because, I don't know, he wanted to be the guy to marry her. And he goes, Dave finishes up, and the minister comes in, and he basically just says, okay, I now pronounce, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, I was the best man. Like, the rings, he had forgotten that part. So he had to go back and start over with that part, and then do the rings, and then I never answered that one. But anyway, it couldn't be a normal wedding.
It was a Magnificent Seven up there.
That's a great picture.
Crazy. Shelley, Darwin was less
capable. That picture so much. A lot of people. That was just spoken a moment.
I was so honored to be able to work with Darwin. I think I met Darwin through Mike and Laura many years ago at Comic-Con. And we wanted to work together for many, many years. And in fact, Mike and Laura and I shared a really fun lunch probably about 4 or 5 years ago where we talked about having Mike and Darwin collaborate at Vertigo. But the story that I wanted to share actually shows a different side of Darwin that might surprise some of you. I had cold called Darwin about a year and a half ago and said, Darwin, you've been threatening to work with me. Can we please make it happen this year? Would you please write and draw something for Vertigo? And he said, okay, all right, I'm finally going to work with you. But I'd like to work with a writer, and I'd like to work with someone really different. And I said, well, who do you want to work with? And he said, well, I got into comics because I love Gilbert Hernandez's work, but I really don't think he's a fan of my work, and I'm not even sure if he wants to collaborate with anyone. He's one of my idols. And I was like, Darwin, hang on a second. And he said, no, I don't know. And I was like, just let me put you on hold. I'm serious. Hold on a second. I put him on hold, and I called Gilbert Hernandez, and I said, Gilbert, how would you like to write a story for Darwin Cook? And he said, one word, I'm in. So I said, okay, I'll call you back in 5 minutes. Got back to Darwin, like, Darwin, we've got a project. Of course, Gilbert wants to work with you. So I was so fortunate to be a part of that collaboration. And while I'd love to say it was my brilliant idea, because I had worked with Gilbert Hernandez many times in the past, it was Darwin's choice. And Darwin said it would be a dream to have Gilbert Hernandez write a story for me. So I'm so honored that I got to be a part of that.
Laura, do you want to add something before we get to the end?
I'll just say, at the wedding, they still remember we never got to sit down at the wedding. Don't you sit down and invite them down?
Lori, I want to set you up with this because I know this meant a lot to you. We were kind of the Leo DiCaprio and Susan Lucci of the Eisners, breaking records for multiple nominations and never winning. And Laura finally got her Eisner Award just a couple of years ago. What happened?
You tell.
This is your moment.
He just jumped up from the seat and just ran up to the stage and just grabbed you.
So he got the first hug. You didn't even let her get to the stage. Almost.
Got a really quick story to tell. 2 seconds. So we did this book. We did The Art of Darwin. There it is right there. And yes, he did name Jimmy's bar after that young fella. But that's not the story. If you look really... So I get the box of books from the printer, right? And it's really beautiful. The reproduction was great. But if you... And I'm looking at the cover. And I had okayed that cover like 3 months earlier. But if you look really... And I've never told anybody this. Especially not my bosses, so please don't tell Jim. Don't tell the DO or Jim Lee. If you look closely in the window in the foreground, Green Arrow is talking with two Green Lantern guys, and Green Arrow's giving the finger to those guys. I'm serious. Look, and I'm like, this has to go to the comic shops. We can't send this out. So I call him. And he starts laughing. Yeah, it's great, isn't it? So now you know. So I shipped it out and didn't tell anybody.
Yeah. Wow. That's great.
And then the thing about that cover, too, is, you know, of course, it's the ultimate flattery when Jimmy's, you know, and it, Darwin was always doing stuff like
always
that.
Putting us in books and shit like that,
the
yeah.
Cast is, wife gave that to me, Marsha gave it to me, he wanted me to have this. It's, you know, that was, the thing is now it's been, I don't know, a day since he passed or a month, I don't know, it's weeks, I don't know how long it is, because I'm trying, because it, like I said, it hit us all, everybody here and his friends. And people knew him, obviously, and people didn't know him. The outpour, and you guys saw it on the internet and newspapers and all that stuff. He would have really got a kick out of all that. You know,
he would have.
That's baloney. I was never a magician. he would have got a kick out of it. But, you know, we have one life, I believe. I'm not that religious. I think this is it. And we're all lucky to have him. In our lives, you know, he was a part of all of our lives. He will always be a part of our lives. He will always be that voice we hear in crazy times and in great times, and also times of decision. Darwin spoke.
Yeah.
I wish he never did, because we probably wouldn't have this panel. We'd probably be across the street making fun of Frank right now. there's lessons in life. He lived hard. He lived hard. He was passionate. There was passion in everything he did, in his art, the way he lived, in the way he loved his friends, in the way he loved Marsha. Oh my God, he loved his wife. Oh my God. She could stick a dynamite in his pants and let it explode, and he'd go, that's okay. That's okay. He loved that girl. And we loved her, and we loved their relationship, and we were there for his wedding. Yeah. We were there for good times and for really hard times. But we look back, we're going to look back for the rest of our lives. We're all going to go out and buy a couple more copies of that book because somebody's giving a finger on the cover. We're going to look at those 52 covers he did.
Jesus.
That grasped the joy of these characters, the original creators meant to have in these characters the joy. He expressed in simple images that will stick with us forever. There'll be prints, there'll be t-shirts, and all that. So, the life of this man, you know, it's short, but it was big, it was powerful. We love him, and we miss him. And if you can hear us out there, let's give a little applause
So hopefully you can do it.
Diagnosed on January 8th, and that was David Bowie's birthday. He was an inspiration to both of us, but this is hyperbole, but it's sincere. When you think of 2016, we lost a lot of the greats. We lost Prince, we lost David Bowie, we lost Muhammad Ali, and I truly believe in our industry, he's equal to those icons. And he's truly one of the greats. And we're going to have his work, and as I understand it, we're going to get to see a lot more coming out.
Absolutely.
So celebrate it, share it with your friends. Let's make sure that his work is never forgotten, please.